This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It has been a while. We've had a lot of Twins games, etc., on Saturdays, but we are pleased to be joined by Doug Swinhart, and Tech Talk is underway on a Saturday. Doug will be in for the entire hour, so we invite you to get in early. The number again, our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And that is good for a call or a text. Once again, Tech Talk with Doug. We are underway. Doug, I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, not so bad, Stevie. How about yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. Good to visit with you. And kind of a chilly, dreary day today. I know we're going to get more rain tomorrow. But you know what they say, April showers bring May flowers. We'll stick with that. But we wanted to open with a story that if you're an AT&T customer, you may want to pay attention. But it certainly has an impact on all of us, and that is data breaches. And the latest big one is AT&T. Maybe you heard about it. Mm-hmm. It first came to light in early April, but they are a big player, certainly in the telecommunications business, cell phones, etc. Maybe you have DirecTV that's owned by AT&T. But they had a big data breach. And Doug, we've had these, and we will continue to have these, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, they said that there was over 70 million. And I guess what bothers me the most about this is it's current and past accounts. Yeah. Why are they keeping that data? You know, if you've been out of AT&T for 10 or 15 years and all of a sudden you start, you wouldn't even think to look there, would you? I just, that's just mind-boggling to me. And I think something needs to be done about that. If you're no longer a customer, they should completely delete your data or at least keep it separate. And they want people to believe that it was some outside force. I have trouble with that as well. If it's all this data from the past, would almost have to be somebody on the inside. And I got to think that with the amount of employees that AT&T has, there's probably a couple of disgruntled employees in IT. And I just, but 70 million accounts with Social Security numbers, date of birth, drivers, I mean, the whole nine yards. It could get hairy. I hope nobody's harmed from this.
Well, and here's the thing about it, Doug. I'm not exactly sure why these companies, when you're signing up, and I have run into this, where they're asking for information. It's like, why do you need that?
Right.
I'm giving you a valid credit card, or I'm paying you through PayPal or some sort of other mechanism. Because you don't want to use your debit card. You don't want anybody to have a direct link to your bank account, etc. We have been through that on the program. But it's always good to have a firewall or two. What I like about PayPal, for instance, you got PayPal, then your credit card, and then it kind of gets back to you. So there's kind of two lines of defense there to protect you. But the point being is, why do they need your Social Security number when this was set up years and years ago? That was strictly for Social Security use. Now everybody and their uncle want that number, and I rarely give it out. I remember on our mortgage, I think we did in a direct transaction with the bank, but still. I think there's way too many businesses that want way too much information for a simple transaction. I, I'm I'm buying cellular service from you. I'm spending $100 a month. Give me a break. You don't need that much info.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and the thing is I said to Nancy, too, because we have an AT&T account.
Yeah.
You know, we've had AT&T now for nearly 20 years. And the whole purpose of the credit bureaus was set up to where these companies who wanted to check somebody's credit would not have to have this data on site. That was the whole purpose of the credit bureaus.
Yep.
So it's to me, it's just mind-boggling that they'd have this type of access, have the data, and I would think they wouldn't want it because now they're not liable. And I think that some of these big companies, they really need to be held accountable. As you probably know, the only company that I know of that was ever brought before a federal committee was Target, and that was small, and they had it solved within minutes. Right. I don't even think there was any data loss. So I don't know why, like Citibank and Lowe's and Home Depot and now, of course, AT&T. And this one's big. You're talking 70 million accounts. That's a lot of accounts. And that's a lot of data. And they claim that there was just terabytes that was missing. And it's actually being utilized, I guess. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah. I think they should be held accountable.
Well, and there are things that people can do. And years and years ago, I had my wallet stolen at work. Long story short, credit cards were used at businesses. I was able to shut those down. I wasn't. But this goes back so far. Circuit City was still in business. So the bad guys had stole my wallet at work. They were in there under the guise of applying for a job. And they kind of cruised through the building. They found my wallet in my coat. And by the time I knew my wallet was gone and called all my credit card companies, they had dropped over $2,000 at a Circuit City in Woodbury.
Oh.
And, of course, I got the police involved, et cetera. Their credit card companies were great. But I lost my driver's license. I lost all sorts of other things in this. And at that point in time, I got some advice. Get a hold of the three major credit bureaus and put your credit report in what is called a freeze.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And ever since then, I've monitored it very carefully. And when I want to establish new credit, say, for instance, buy a vehicle, what have you, I will unfreeze the credit report for a short period of time and then have it automatically go back into freeze mode. So I think all of those little tips are ways that you can at least, even if it's floating around on the so-called dark web, and I'm using air quotes here, by at least putting your credit on freeze and protecting that, keeping a close eye on your credit card statements, etc., you've got some layer of protection. But let's face it, in this day and age, you got to watch out for yourself.
Yeah, and the thing is, AT&T, they're offering something that's similar to LifeLock for half price. It's like, wait a minute, half price?
How about free?
Well, yeah. How about you had that in place beforehand? You know, we trust these companies to take care of our data. We try to find people that we can do business with that's going to protect that kind of thing. And it just is mind-boggling to me. Somewhere along the line, they have to be held accountable. The only thing these large corporations understand is dollars, nothing else.
Right, and this is a role, and we could argue all day about what the role of federal government should be. But businesses in this case do need to be regulated, and they do need to be penalized when they have an error like this. Look at the big data breach at United Health Group, Fortune 500 based right here in the Twin Cities. Absolutely unacceptable.
Exactly.
That happened, and it's having a huge impact on their business. All right, let's go to John. John is joining us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. John from Plymouth, you're on the air with Doug.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Looking for a little bit of advice. Okay. I've got an older Dell machine, i5, and I'm running Office 2016. It's the home and student version. And it doesn't, just recently it's gone to the point where when I try and start it, it says something went wrong. So I've got
Don't you love that
program?
Yeah, don't you love that? There, no advice, no direction. Well, something went wrong. Oh, really? Well, if you don't know, how am I supposed to know? Yeah, that's well, one of the good things.
Yeah, if I click on it, it brings me a link and it gives me some advice talking about, either uninstalling and reinstalling or I'm supposed to be able to find a repair, but I haven't been able to find a repair spot.
Yeah, Microsoft at this point is really pushing 365. My advice is you have a local copy. It's installed on your local computer. My advice at this point would be for you to download Libre Office Suite, LibreOffice.org, and it's free. It's open source. Download that and install it. With Libre Office, we can open, edit, and save any Microsoft Office file, regardless what version it is. And that's a big thing. If you don't need Office 365 because you're connected with your workplace or your school or whatever, if you don't need that, just use Libre. It's just so much simpler, so much cleaner. It lines up with Google and Apple now. So it's just the way to go. Do that, you'll be done by 4 o'clock this afternoon. And thank you so much for the call, and have a good day.
All right, very good. Thanks, John. Great call, great start. We're going to break and come back with much more on Tech Talk with Doug. And by the way, we want to direct you to all our podcasts that are available at WCCORadio.com. Just search WCCO Tech Talk, and we have a complete library. So if you're new to the show, there's a lot of great stuff that's evergreen and a lot of good advice. But once again, check out the podcast page at WCCORadio.com. It is WCCO Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart's on board. We'll come back. We'll talk Windows 11. Can you get Windows 11 Pro for free? That's something we'll get into in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. We've had a lot of Twins games on Saturday afternoon. Tonight, the Twins play in Southern California with the Angels. And we'll be on the air at 8 with the lineup card. First pitch at 8:38, Chris Paddock on the mound. More on the Twins a little bit later, but we're doing Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart. Doug's on board for the entire hour. Here's our number again, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Still plenty of time to call or text the program. Doug, let's start here with Windows 11. What is the best way to shut down Windows 11? Earlier versions had a start button to shut down Hibernate, etc. Also, wasn't there a download to make versions of Windows look like older versions, like some sort of program where you could kind of set it up to look that way?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have trouble answering this, Steve. I've been downloading from a site that actually will let you download X Lite. And this is a stripped-down version of Windows, and it has all that stuff built in. You still will require a license key. And say, well, but I wanted it for free. I don't know if you really do or not. You can jump online. In fact, you can go to productkeys.com, productkeys.com, and you can get Windows 11 Professional Retail Key, which that's all you'll get, it's a key, for $11.90. And apparently you're legal. I think this is in Europe, but it's perfectly legal that you can do this. And this is Windows 11 Pro. I really like downloading this, and I'll see if I can get you the link here for the Windows. Yeah, it's Windows X Lite, WindowsXLite.com. And it's wonderful what they have. They've got full-blown versions of Windows 10 and 11, and they all come with the little, and their interface now, their GUI, it's really slick. It combines the new with the old. So you can actually have the menu button sitting in the middle. You have all the transparent bars, all the bells and whistles, but you still have the ease of use because when you hit that button, it's got a shutdown button, a log off, log on. I don't do hibernate or suspend in Windows, but log off and log on so you can get right back into it. It's just much, much cleaner. I suggest if people are looking for a what I consider a better, how do I say this? A better desktop version of Windows 11. This is it. And it's WindowsXLite.com. And they're here in the United States. I think they're in Phoenix. They do great work, just great work. All open source. So if you like their product, you can donate, buy them a cup of coffee, something like that. And it worked out well for me. And I think it'll work out well for our listeners as well. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and I guess I've had Chromebooks or work on Macs, et cetera, and at work I don't have to worry about it. I have no idea what a fresh install from Microsoft costs. If you just go to the site and want to download, you know, Windows 11, for instance, I have no idea what that costs, Doug.
I think it's $179, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not cheap. And you can buy a full retail version with a DVD or a USB drive. Most of them now are just handing you a little cute little packet with a license key. You might as well download it.
Yeah, you need to download, yeah.
Yeah, and I really like Windows X Lite because there's stuff I haven't seen a problem. No viruses, no malware, no tracking of what you're doing with it. It's just worked out really well for me.
Yeah, and at work, I've had Windows 365 to get Excel and Word, et cetera. I've also got, you know, the Google version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it does get annoying at times where they're constantly asking about backups and upsells, et cetera. That is really annoying. I'm giving them a few bucks for Windows 365, and it comes in handy for certain things that I need to do or et cetera. And I know you've talked about Libre, and there are other options to open that. But it was worth a few bucks. It's just I wish you could say, hey, I gave you some money. Now stop bothering me. I'm not giving you any more. Stop with the upsell.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's like paying for a streaming service today, and they're all getting back to where they're advertising anyway. Not a lot, but you should have no ads. If you're paying, should be no ad at all, other than maybe advertising a movie that's coming up from them.
Sure.
Something like that. I can understand.
Yeah, I think on top of it, if you're using a free version of something, I can't blame them a bit if they said, hey, you know, we'd like you to get into, say, the pro version and get a few bucks out of you. I'm fine with that if you're taking something for free. But if you're paying, leave me alone.
I agree.
You know, yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And the cable cutting thing, I think that party's almost over, by the way. It's getting more and more difficult, and you just can't get by free anymore. It's too big a business.
Well, and here's the thing. When you get to programming and all the networks that are out there and all the streaming services that are coming online, what is frustrating is that if you want a certain program, it might be available on a certain app. And all of a sudden, you turn around and you're paying Paramount Plus. You're paying Peacock. You're paying YouTube TV. You're paying MLB.com. Maybe you're paying a subscription to Apple TV. And you start adding that up. And you're probably paying more than if you just had DirecTV or cable.
That's
what's crazy about it. And I'm glad you brought that up because I think in the spirit of cable cutting, for people to get the programs they want, we're kind of right back to square one where cable isn't, you know, as bad a deal as it once was. Or DirecTV is now looking like a pretty good deal because, hey, they got all the channels I want in one spot and I don't need to fool around.
Well, see, that's the next thing, too, is these screen interfaces. Every one of them's got a different user interface, and now you got five or six of them you're trying to play with.
Correct.
And you go to Amazon, and you'll see a show, and, well, they want like $3 for it. You might have it on Tubi. And I thought that the Chromecast was supposed to really scan everything. And that's why they want your information. It looks to me like they're just shuffling the good shows from one channel to the next as soon as they get too many buyers. So I think they're going to stop the monthly subscriptions, too. You're going to have to pay for an annual. And if you cancel it, you're going to have to pay for a relicense.
Well, you're on the hook, yeah.
Yeah, they're, it's going to get ugly. I think it's going to get bad.
Yeah, but, and, another one that comes up is Bally Sports North.
Oh, yeah.
I have that to watch the Wild, for instance, a Bally Sports North app to watch the Wild and Timberwolves. And now the season has ended. Now, for instance, Timberwolves playoffs are on one of the other streaming services. So it also becomes, you manage these things. It's like, well, I don't need to pay for the Bally Sports North app because the Wild and Timberwolves seasons are over, and I'm not going to pay the $20 a month through the summer months. It starts to become more and more of a hassle, and you start looking at your credit card bills, and you start adding up the service charges for this, mm-hmm. that, and the other thing, and it starts adding up to real money in a hurry.
Yeah, nick, and all of a sudden you're up to $200 a month. Yeah, no, I hear you.
The nickel dime. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to come back and talk about the Brave browser. I know Doug's a fan of that. And password managers, and a little bit more about WinX Lite. We'll get into all of that following weather break. It is Tech Talk with Doug, and if you want to join us, you can jump on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, Saturdays at 3, sports schedules permitting. Twins and Angels from Southern California tonight. Lineup card at 8. First pitch after 8:30 tonight. Chris Paddock on the mound. Twins with a win tonight would get back to 500. So they've had a good week, and they've climbed that mountain. So a win tonight, and they are 500 on the season. That certainly would be good news. Once again, Doug is in, and we want to jump right back to our text line and get back one real quick thing on WinX Lite. Will Microsoft update that? What's the story? How do you keep it updated?
Yeah, and it's Windows X Lite. There's a full word. And yes, it does. And in fact, the update that they have built in, it's very selective. It's security only. Now, when you first install it, it won't even allow an update for 3 years. They've got it set to the maximum that Microsoft, well, that's their big corporate accounts that get that, so might as well have it for us as well. But I like to have the security updates, but no feature updates, no updating of versions without my permission. And for goodness sake, if everything is running, leave my drivers alone. This seems to be a pretty large issue with downloading and updating drivers from the Windows site. And they just push them right out. They don't ask. They don't even tell you what they're doing. And top that off with their error messages. Oh, something went wrong. Well, really? Well, no wonder people are getting irritated. And I don't think it's going to help Microsoft to take this approach. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think they're losing market share every day to Apple. And I just they could own the world. They should. And it's not good. Not good. Not in my opinion.
So it is updatable. Let's get into the Brave browser. Here's a text from our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. This is a good one. I have unique passwords for every account, website, etc., and primarily use the Brave browser. And by the way, that is good practice if you can keep track of all of those unique passwords for every account. That certainly is good for you. But Doug, is it any safer to use their built-in password manager on the Brave browser?
Well, I got to be honest, Steve, and tell you that I feel spoiled rotten using Proton Pass. And that's proton.me. And you can download that for free, and it's web-based. This thing is the only password manager I found that is just easy to use, and it just simply works. And I don't mind keeping it online with Proton. They're one of the major security companies on the planet, and they're in Switzerland. I trust them explicitly. I really do. So, and you get a free email account, and if you sign up for an email account, and they give all their stuff away, VPN, email, calendars online, whole nine yards. But if you buy it, and I bought it, then you get a faster service for the VPNs and a faster service for the Proton Pass. But Proton Pass, I think, is the best that there is. Whatever you're using for a password manager, just make sure that you can trust them. if they're holding your data up in the cloud, which I actually think is safer than putting it on your computer. I really do. If they're doing that, you must have ultimate trust in these folks. Absolutely, you must. And I really like Proton. Proton.me. Download the free version. Play around with it. Test it. I'm quite certain you'll like that, by the way, will even copy your present passwords off your browsers that you already have and give you instructions, simple instructions, on how to shut off saving your passwords in your browsers from that point forward. I really like this company. They got it together. And support, if you send them an email, you're probably going to get an answer within a half an hour to 45 minutes. I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care if it's the weekend, holidays, you name it. That's they're doing that right as well. And I'm really glad I found them. They're working well on my side.
Yeah, and Doug, just real quickly, back to the Brave browser. Is that one you would recommend? And
Sure.
Should people be using that one?
Yeah, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there.
No, that's okay. But
yeah, the Brave browser is actually my go-to browser. It's the first browser open when I turn on a computer, and it's the last one to go down when I shut it down. That and Firefox, and then, of course, LibreWolf, which is built on a Firefox engine, and then I also use Chromium, which is the open source version of Chrome. And those four I have open all the time, nonstop. But Brave is where I'm out, like, cruising the net and that kind of stuff. The security and some of the features that we find in Brave, they're just second to none. Now, the rest of the browser companies are following suit. And I don't want to talk down Firefox. Firefox is top shelf, absolutely top shelf. And between those two, you should be just right spot on. A bigger issue is how the user operates on the internet. Use some caution. You're not anonymous by any means. That's one thing that we just can't stress enough. And second of all, if you're a good user like Steve or I, you could probably go years and years and years and never get a virus or never get malware, knock on wood. And if you do, you're going to catch it early enough to where it's not going to put you out of business or destroy your personal data for the last 10 years. That's the big thing. I really like Brave Browser. It's fast. It's nimble. It isn't the easiest to update sometimes with certain versions of Linux. And that's because they won't let out any code. They won't. What's necessary to protect the consumer and nothing else. Yeah, I like Brave a lot. I really do.
Doug, good stuff as always. By the way, we have time. If you want to give us a call or send us a text, 651-461-9226. We've got a lot on the program today. And a friendly reminder, all our podcasts available online at WCCORadio.com. Just do a search for WCCO Tech Talk, and a lot of evergreen material there, and a lot of good topics there. Let's go to the phones. Marshall in St. Louis Park, here on the air. Hello.
Hey guys, appreciate you taking my call. I have a question, and hopefully you can answer it. We'll give it a whirl. So I have a computer that has worked with a dock that feeds to monitors, mouse, a webcam, all that stuff. And about a year ago, it quit working with the monitors. It works with everything else, but not the monitors. Now, I switched out the docks, same thing. So I tried a different computer with the docks. The other computer works great. So something in my computer is not allowing the monitors from the docks to function. And I'm wondering if you can help me with that.
That's really bizarre. But my first inclination is that you want to be looking at where that monitor connects on your computer. I have a feeling that the port, and it could be like little pins, something is wrong with that port. Could might just change that port. You might also need to redo your drivers. Now, if this is a Windows machine, it may be that piece of equipment, whether it came from Dell or Lenovo or wherever, has made arrangements with Microsoft to bring it to end of life. And if that's the case, there's still some workarounds that you can do. But I'm going to ask you to give me a call sometime next week, and we'll see if I can't connect up remotely and take a look at this. This is This shouldn't be happening, especially with one device. That's a little upsetting to me. Sounds more like drivers or something simple on the port end. We'll figure it out. The fact that it works with another computer. Well, now we know it isn't the port on the device itself. We know that it's the port and the device on the computer. So yeah, and it might be as simple as buying an inexpensive video card and sticking in that computer, $15, $20, $30, and away you go. It could be that simple. And we'll get you taken care of. Give me a call next week and we'll get it sorted.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program today. And really, with diagnostics and troubleshooting, you just kind of work your way through it. Does this work? Does that work? And that's true with, you know, in my experience, audio equipment or computer equipment or anything, and mechanics, okay, this works. All right, maybe it's this. You know, now with automobiles, now they have computers that can kind of track and put out error messages. But, you know, good old-fashioned troubleshooting, you know, this guy did a great job to narrow it down back to that computer, that it isn't the port, it isn't the monitor, it isn't the docking station, it's something going on with that particular computer.
Yeah, with the Dell itself, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he did good. Fixing them is easy. Finding out what to fix, that's the tough part.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is 651-461-9226. That is a good call. Quite a while ago, you had mentioned, let's hold off on Windows 11 when it was first came out. And you've made a good point about, you know, any of these new releases. You don't need to be the first. You know, now Windows 11, I would call it a mature operating system. Okay to upgrade, I would assume. But, yeah, when something brand new comes out, I don't need to be first.
No.
Your thoughts on that, Doug?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's great to be on the cutting edge, but you don't want to be on the bleeding edge. And especially with high-tech equipment that is being sold for a gamer level, for example. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a gamer to use that. There's a lot of software and hardware out there that needs to be built to what's considered gaming standards. It has nothing to do with gaming.
Yeah.
But when the new equipment comes out, I always tell people, let's wait at least 3 months, preferably six. And you know, in the computer business, they say it evolves in dog years, 7 to 1. I think it's probably closer to 10 to 1. But at any rate, once that thing is out in the wild and you can jump online and you can read about it, there's patterns that emerge. And you can figure out what to fix before it ever becomes an issue. It's going to save you time and money, and I just can't put a dollar value on people's frustration, yeah. And especially mine. So I agree with this. The cutting edge, absolutely. Bleeding edge, avoid it like the plague. Yeah. It's just not worth it for most folks to play with their one production machine to have this great, Now, if you got 3 or 4 computers and you want a beta test, by all means, I encourage that to no end. But most people have a computer that's doing their job, and maybe two, but one main production computer, what I call a production computer, the one they rely on for their data and their banking and buying stuff at Target or Amazon or eBay or whatnot. That computer, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just don't. You're better off to have a trusty machine.
Yeah.
If you got a trusting computer, you're in good shape.
All right, let's get in a quick call here before we break. John from Coon Rapids, you join us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. John, you're on the air.
Hi. I've got several laptops that are, you know, like 8-10 years old now that we've updated, but we haven't gotten rid of them. Where is a good place to take them to that they will wipe them and, you know, whether they can use them again or not, I don't know.
Well, Stevie, I'm going to have to use your memory here. We used to call it Tech Dump, but they've changed their name, and I'm sorry, I can't remember their name off.
Yeah, it's called Repowered Tech Dump. They've got a spot in Golden Valley. They've got one in St. Paul. You can even do a Google search for Tech Dump, but yep. It will bring up Repowered in their website, getrepowered, all one word, GetRepowered.org. It is a nonprofit. They give people an opportunity to learn some skills, etc. They do a really nice job. We've used them at my full-time job to recycle old computer equipment, and they do a phenomenal job. And they will give you a certificate of destruction that hard drive will be wiped or destroyed if you so choose. Some equipment, they'll do a wipe and they'll resell it. There's a lot of options. But once again, it is getrepowered.org. And once again, they will give you a certificate of destruction when you turn it over. So go to that website and check them out. And in some communities, we'll take in equipment, but I don't know if you know get as good a guarantee that hard drive is going to be wiped.
That's correct.
Is a big deal. You want that cleaned up.
Yeah. Well, and there's one other place that will do the same thing, but they're in Minneapolis, and that's called FreeGeekTwinCities.org, and that's their website. A little small place. Probably a little bit more difficult to get to and park than
Repowered.
I haven't been there for a while, but they do great work. And if you're looking for an inexpensive computer, I can't speak to Repowered, but I'm sure there's the same company. I have put many people into a purchase that I made at Tech Dump, and it probably saved them half the money. Run. Nice equipment. This is equipment that probably came in on lease. It was maybe only 18 months old. And then when they bring it in, they make sure everything works and replace anything that doesn't. A lot of it is like brand spanking new, I swear. You could do well to be checking out equipment there, too, if you're living on a budget and can't afford the cutting edge. But that's it's a great, great company, and I couldn't promote them enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, so they certainly do good good work. That is for sure. And I was just at their website, and I don't know if they're in Golden Valley anymore, but they've got a spot over in St. Paul.
I believe they are. Yeah. I think so.
Quick break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on Tech Talk in a moment here on News Talk. E3O WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug Swindehart. Quick reminder, Repowered, formerly Tech Dump, shut down their Golden Valley location.
Yeah.
So they have one location over in St. Paul. So we just wanted to point that out before we run out of time on the program. Time is very tight. Doug, we did get a couple of texts about Proton. Once again, how do you find it? What is it? Is it a browser? What's going on with Proton?
Well, they started by giving away free email, and they wanted to keep the internet anonymous. At least until you do something illegal. And it's a huge security company, and it's proton.me, like you and me. Easy to work with, just wonderful, wonderful company. Today, and they've rolled out several other free programs over the years. My favorite is, of course, Proton Pass. I use it all day long. And the other one is Proton VPN. I have three separate VPN services that I pay for. Now, the Proton VPN comes free with my account, and it runs circles around the other three. I'm just amazed at the quality that they do. Just absolutely amazing company. Check them out. I hope that helps.
Yeah, and certainly a good one. One other reminder we want to get into real quick, and that is back up your data. We haven't said it in a while. Back up your data, hard copy, up in the cloud, etc.
You bet.
Take this opportunity. It's going to be rainy tomorrow. Back up your data. Make sure you got copies of the important stuff.
Yeah, minimum three copies. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, so do yourself a favor if you've forgot about it or procrastinating a little bit. Back up that data. All right, Doug, your phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543, and of course, admin at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and have a good weekend.
Yeah, Doug, we'll talk to you again down the road when sports schedules permit. It is Tech Talk with Doug on Saturdays. between 3 and 4 o'clock. We have all the news, all the weather. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. And then Bobby Nightingale will join us from the Star Tribune. We'll talk Twins. They're hot. We'll get into that coming up.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
It has been a while. We've had a lot of Twins games, etc., on Saturdays, but we are pleased to be joined by Doug Swinhart, and Tech Talk is underway on a Saturday. Doug will be in for the entire hour, so we invite you to get in early. The number again, our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And that is good for a call or a text. Once again, Tech Talk with Doug. We are underway. Doug, I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, not so bad, Stevie. How about yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. Good to visit with you. And kind of a chilly, dreary day today. I know we're going to get more rain tomorrow. But you know what they say, April showers bring May flowers. We'll stick with that. But we wanted to open with a story that if you're an AT&T customer, you may want to pay attention. But it certainly has an impact on all of us, and that is data breaches. And the latest big one is AT&T. Maybe you heard about it. Mm-hmm. It first came to light in early April, but they are a big player, certainly in the telecommunications business, cell phones, etc. Maybe you have DirecTV that's owned by AT&T. But they had a big data breach. And Doug, we've had these, and we will continue to have these, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, they said that there was over 70 million. And I guess what bothers me the most about this is it's current and past accounts. Yeah. Why are they keeping that data? You know, if you've been out of AT&T for 10 or 15 years and all of a sudden you start, you wouldn't even think to look there, would you? I just, that's just mind-boggling to me. I think something needs to be done about that. If you're no longer a customer, they should completely delete your data or at least keep it separate. And they want people to believe that it was some outside force. I have trouble with that as well. If it's all this data from the past, it would almost have to be somebody on the inside. And I got to think that with the amount of employees that AT&T has, there's probably a couple of disgruntled employees in IT. But 70 million accounts with Social Security numbers, date of birth, drivers, I mean, the whole nine yards. It could get hairy. I hope nobody's harmed from this.
Well, and here's the thing about it, Doug. I'm not exactly sure why these companies, when you're signing up, and I have run into this, where they're asking for information. It's like, why do you need that?
Right.
I'm giving you a valid credit card, or I'm paying you through PayPal or some sort of other mechanism. Because you don't want to use your debit card. You don't want anybody to have a direct link to your bank account, etc. We have been through that on the program. But it's always good to have a firewall or two. What I like about PayPal, for instance, you got PayPal, then your credit card, and then it kind of gets back to you. So there's kind of two lines of defense there to
Indeed.
Protect you. But the point being is, why do they need your Social Security number when this was set up years and years ago? That was strictly for Social Security use. Now everybody and their uncle want that number, and I rarely give it out. I remember on our mortgage, I think we did in a direct transaction with the bank. But still, I think there's way too many businesses that want way too much information for a simple transaction. I'm buying cellular service from you. I'm spending $100 a month. Give me a break. You don't need that much info.
Well, see, and the thing is I said to Nancy, too, because we have an AT&T account.
Yeah.
You know, we've had AT&T now for nearly 20 years. And the whole purpose of the credit bureaus was set up to where these companies who wanted to check somebody's credit would not have to have this data on site. That was the whole purpose of the credit bureaus.
Yep.
So it's to me, it's just mind-boggling that they'd have this type of access, have the data, and I would think they wouldn't want it because now they're not liable. And I think that some of these big companies, they really need to be held accountable. As you probably know, the only company that I know of that was ever brought before a federal committee was Target, and that was small, and they had it solved within minutes. I don't even think there was any data loss. So I don't know why, like Citibank and Lowe's and Home Depot and now, of course, AT&T. And this one's big. You're talking 70 million accounts. That's a lot of accounts. And that's a lot of data. And they claim that there was just terabytes that was missing. And it's actually being utilized, I guess. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah. I think they should be held accountable.
Well, and there are things that people can do. And years ago, I had my wallet stolen at work. Long story short, credit cards were used at businesses. I was able to shut those down. But this goes back so far. Circuit City was still in business. So the bad guys had stole my wallet at work. They were in there under the guise of applying for a job. And they kind of cruised through the building. They found my wallet in my coat. And by the time I knew my wallet was gone and called all my credit card companies, they had dropped over $2,000 at a Circuit City in Woodbury. And, of course, I got the police involved, et cetera. Their credit card companies were great. But I lost my driver's license. I lost all sorts of other things in this. And at that point in time, I got some advice. Get a hold of the three major credit bureaus and put your credit report in what is called a freeze.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And ever since then, I've monitored it very carefully. And when I want to establish new credit, say, for instance, buy a vehicle, what have you, I will unfreeze the credit report for a short period of time and then have it automatically go back into freeze mode. So I think all of those little tips are ways that you can at least, even if it's floating around on the so-called dark web, and I'm using air quotes here, by at least putting your credit on freeze and protecting that, keeping a close eye on your credit card statements, etc., you've got some layer of protection. But let's face it, in this day and age, you got to watch out for yourself.
Yeah, and the thing is, AT&T, they're offering something that's similar to LifeLock for half price. It's like, wait a minute, half price?
How about free?
Well, yeah. How about you had that in place beforehand? You know, we trust these companies to take care of our data. We try to find people that we can do business with that's going to protect that kind of thing. And it just is mind-boggling to me. Somewhere along the line, they have to be held accountable. The only thing these large corporations understand is dollars. Nothing else.
Right, and this is a role, and we could argue all day about what the role of federal government should be. But businesses in this case do need to be regulated, and they do need to be penalized when they have an error like this. Look at the big data breach at United Health Group, Fortune 500 based right here in the Twin Cities. Absolutely unacceptable.
Exactly.
That happened, and it's having a huge impact on their business. All right, let's go to John. John is joining us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. John from Plymouth, you're on the air with Doug.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Looking for a little bit of advice. Okay. I've got an older Dell machine, i5, and I'm running Office 2016. It's the home and student version. And it doesn't. It just recently, it's gone to the point where when I try and start it, says something went wrong. So I've got.
Yeah. Don't you love that
program?
Yeah, don't you love that? No advice, no direction. Well, something went wrong. Oh, really? Well, if you don't know, how am I supposed to know? Yeah, that's well, one of the good things.
Yeah, if I click on it, it brings me a link and it gives me some advice talking about, either uninstalling and reinstalling or I'm supposed to be able to find a repair, but I haven't been able to find a repair spot.
Yeah, Microsoft at this point is really pushing 365. My advice is you have a local copy. It's installed on your local computer. My advice at this point would be for you to download LibreOffice Suite, LibreOffice.org, and it's free. It's open source. Download that and install it. With LibreOffice, we can open, edit, and save any Microsoft Office file, regardless of what version it is. And that's a big thing. If you don't need Office 365 because you're connected with your workplace or your school or whatever, if you don't need that, just use Libre. It's just so much simpler, so much cleaner. It lines up with Google and Apple now. So it's just the way to go. Do that, you'll be done by 4 o'clock this afternoon. And thank you so much for the call, and have a good day.
All right, very good. Thanks, John. Great call, great start. We're going to break and come back with much more on Tech Talk with Doug. And by the way, we want to direct you to all our podcasts that are available at WCCORadio.com. Just search WCCO Tech Talk, and we have a complete library. So if you're new to the show, there's a lot of great stuff that's evergreen and a lot of good advice. But once again, check out the podcast page at WCCORadio.com. It is WCCO Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart's on board. We'll come back. We'll talk Windows 11. Can you get Windows 11 Pro for free? That's something we'll get into in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. We've had a lot of Twins games on Saturday afternoon. Tonight, the Twins play in Southern California with the Angels, and we'll be on the air at 8 with the lineup card. First pitch at 8:38, Chris Paddock on the mound. More on the Twins a little bit later, but we're doing Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart. Doug's on board for the entire hour. Here's our number again, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Still plenty of time to call or text the program. Doug, let's start here with Windows 11. What is the best way to shut down Windows 11? Earlier versions had a start button to shut down, hibernate, etc. Also, wasn't there a download to make versions of Windows look like older versions, like some sort of program where you could kind of set it up to look that way?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have trouble answering this, Steve. I've been downloading from a site that actually will let you download X Lite. And this is a stripped-down version of Windows, and it has all that stuff built in. You still will require a license key. And say, well, but I wanted it for free. I don't know if you really do or not. You can jump online. In fact, you can go to productkeys.com, productkeys.com, and you can get Windows 11 Professional Retail Key, that's all you'll get, it's a key, for $11.90. And apparently you're legal. I think this is in Europe, but it's perfectly legal that you can do this. And this is Windows 11 Pro. I really like downloading this, and I'll see if I can get you the link here for the Windows. Yeah, it's Windows X Lite, WindowsXLite.com. And it's wonderful what they have. They've got full-blown versions of Windows 10 and 11, and they all come with the little, and their interface now, their GUI. It's really slick. It combines the new with the old. So you can actually have the menu button sitting in the middle. You have all the transparent bars, all the bells and whistles, but you still have the ease of use because when you hit that button, it's got a shutdown button, Log off, log on. I don't do hibernate or suspend in Windows. But log off and log on so you can get right back into it. It's just much, much cleaner. I suggest that people are looking for what I consider a better, how do I say this? A better desktop version of Windows 11. This is it. And it's WindowsXLite.com. And they're here in the United States. I think they're in Phoenix. They do great work, just great work. All open source. So if you like their product, you can donate, buy them a cup of coffee, something like that. And it worked out well for me. And I think it'll work out well for our listeners as well. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and I guess I've had Chromebooks or work on Macs, et cetera, and at work I don't have to worry about it. I have no idea what a fresh install from Microsoft costs. If you just go to the site and want to download, you know, Windows 11, for instance, I have no idea what that costs, Doug.
I think it's $179, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not cheap. And you can buy a full retail version with a DVD or a USB drive. Most of them now are just handing you a little cute little packet with a license key. You might as well download it.
Yeah, you need to download, yeah.
Yeah, and I really like Windows X Lite because there's stuff I haven't seen a problem. No viruses, no malware, no tracking of what you're doing with it. It's just worked out really well for me.
Yeah, and at work, I've had Windows 365 to get Excel and Word, et cetera. I've also got, you know, the Google version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it does get annoying at times where they're constantly asking about backups and upsells, et cetera. That is really annoying. I'm giving them a few bucks for Windows 365, and it comes in handy for certain things that I need to do or et cetera. And I know you've talked about Libre, and there are other options to open that. But it was worth a few bucks. It's just I wish you could say, hey, I gave you some money. Now stop bothering me. I'm not giving you any more. Stop with the upsell.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's like paying for a streaming service today, and they're all getting back to where they're advertising anyway. Not a lot, but you should have no ads. If you're paying, should be no ad at all, other than maybe advertising a movie that's coming up from them.
Sure.
Something like that. I can understand.
Yeah, if you're, and I think on top of it, if you're using a free version of something, I can't blame them a bit if they said, hey, you know, we'd like you to get into, say, the pro version and get a few bucks out of you. I'm fine with that if you're taking something for free. But if you're paying, leave me alone.
I agree.
You know, yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And the cable cutting thing, I think that party's almost over, by the way. It's getting more and more difficult, and you just can't get by free anymore. It's too big a business.
Well, and here's the thing. When you get to programming and all the networks that are out there and all the streaming services that are coming online, what is frustrating is that if you want a certain program, it might be available on a certain app. And all of a sudden, you turn around and you're paying Paramount Plus. You're paying Peacock. You're paying YouTube TV. You're paying MLB.com. Maybe you're paying a subscription to Apple TV. And you start adding that up. And you're probably paying more than if you just had DirecTV or cable.
That's
what's crazy about it. And I'm glad you brought that up because I think in the spirit of cable cutting, for people to get the programs they want, we're kind of right back to square one where cable isn't, you know, as bad a deal as it once was. Or DirecTV is now looking like a pretty good deal because, hey, they got all the channels I want in one spot and I don't need to fool around.
Well, see, that's the next thing too. These screen interfaces. Every one of them's got a different user interface, and now you got five or six of them you're trying to play with.
Correct.
And you go to Amazon, and you'll see a show, and they want like $3 for it. You might have it on Tubi, and I thought that the Chromecast was supposed to really scan everything. And that's why they want your information. It looks to me like they're just shuffling the good shows from one channel to the next as soon as they get too many buyers. So I think they're going to stop the monthly subscriptions, too. You're going to have to pay for an annual. And if you cancel it, You're going to have to pay for a relicense.
Well, you're on the hook, yeah.
Yeah, they're it's going to get ugly. I think it's going to get bad.
Yeah, another one that comes up is Bally Sports North.
Oh, yeah.
I have that to watch the Wild, for instance, a Bally Sports North app to watch the Wild and Timberwolves. And now the season has ended. Now, for instance, Timberwolves playoffs are on one of the other streaming services. So it also becomes, you manage these things. It's like, well, I don't need to pay for the Bally Sports North app because the Wild and Timberwolves seasons are over, and I'm not going to pay the $20 a month through the summer months. It starts to become more and more of a hassle, and you start looking at your credit card bills, and you start adding up the service charges for this, mm-hmm. that, and the other thing, and it starts adding up to real money in a hurry.
Yeah, Nick, and all of a sudden you're up to $200 a month. Yeah, no, I hear you.
The nickel dime. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to come back and talk about the Brave browser. I know Doug's a fan of that. And password managers, and a little bit more about WinX Lite. We'll get into all of that following weather break. It is Tech Talk with Doug, and if you want to join us, you can jump on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, Saturdays at 3, sports schedules permitting. Twins and Angels from Southern California tonight. Lineup card at 8. First pitch after 8:30 tonight. Chris Paddock on the mound. Twins with a win tonight would get back to 500. So they've had a good week, and they've climbed that mountain. So a win tonight, and they are 500 on the season. That certainly would be good news. Once again, Doug is in, and we want to jump right back to our text line and get back one real quick thing on WinX Lite. Will Microsoft update that? What's the story? How do you keep it updated?
Yeah, and it's Windows X Lite. There's a full word. And yes, it does. And in fact, the update that they have built in, it's very selective. It's security only. Now, when you first install it, it won't even allow an update for 3 years. They've got it set to the maximum that Microsoft... Well, that's their big corporate accounts that get that, so might as well have it for us as well. But I like to have the security updates, but no feature updates, no updating of versions without my permission. And for goodness sake, if everything is running, leave my drivers alone. This seems to be a pretty large issue with downloading and updating drivers from the Windows site. And they just push them right out. They don't ask. They don't even tell you what they're doing. And top that off with their error messages. Oh, something went wrong. Oh, really? Well, no wonder people are getting irritated. And I don't think it's going to help Microsoft to take this approach. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think they're losing market share every day to Apple. And I just they could own the world. They should. And it's not good. Not good. Not in my opinion.
So it is updatable. Let's get into the Brave browser. Here's a text from our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. This is a good one. I have unique passwords for every account, website, etc., and primarily use the Brave browser. And by the way, that is good practice if you can keep track of all of those unique passwords for every account. That certainly is good for you. But Doug, is it any safer to use their built-in password manager on the Brave browser?
Well, I got to be honest, Steve, and tell you that I feel spoiled rotten using Proton Pass, and that's proton.me. And you can download that for free, and it's web-based. This thing is the only password manager I found that is just easy to use, and it just simply works. And I don't mind keeping it online with Proton. They're one of the major security companies on the planet, and they're in Switzerland. I trust them explicitly. I really do. So, and you get a free email account, and if you sign up for an email account, and they give all their stuff away, VPN, email, calendars online, whole nine yards. But if you buy it, and I bought it, then you get a faster service for the VPNs and a faster service for the Proton Pass. But Proton Pass, I think is the best that, there is. Whatever you're using for a password manager, just make sure that you can trust them. If they're holding your data up in the cloud, which I actually think is safer than putting it on your computer, I really do. If they're doing that, you must have ultimate trust in these folks. Absolutely, you must. And I really like Proton. Proton.me. Download the free version. Play around with it. Test it. I'm quite certain you'll like that. By the way, will even copy your present passwords off your browsers that you already have and give you instructions, simple instructions, on how to shut off saving your passwords in your browsers from that point forward. I really like this company. They got it together. And support, if you send them an email, you're probably going to get an answer within a half an hour to 45 minutes. I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care if it's the weekend, holidays, you name it. That's their, they're doing that right as well. And I'm really glad I found them. They're working well on my side.
Yeah, and Doug, just real quickly, back to the Brave browser. Is that one you would recommend? And
Sure.
Should people be using that one?
Yeah, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there.
No, that's okay. But
yeah, the Brave browser is actually my go-to browser. It's the first browser open when I turn on a computer, and it's the last one to go down when I shut it down. That and Firefox, and then, of course, LibreWolf, which is built on a Firefox engine, and then I also use Chromium, which is the open source version of Chrome. And those four I have open all the time, nonstop. But Brave is where I'm out, like, cruising the net and that kind of stuff. The security and some of the features that we find in Brave, they're just second to none. Now, the rest of the browser companies are following suit. They're, and I don't want to talk down Firefox. Firefox is top shelf, absolutely top shelf. And between those two, you should be just right spot on. A bigger issue is how the user operates on the internet. Use some caution. It's, you're not anonymous by any means. That's one thing that we just can't stress enough. And second of all, if you're a good user like Steve or I, you could probably go years and years and years and never get a virus or never get malware, knock on wood. And if you do, you're going to catch it early enough to where it's not going to put you out of business or destroy your personal data for the last 10 years. That's the big thing. I really like Brave Browser. It's fast. It's nimble. It isn't the easiest to update sometimes with certain versions of Linux. And that's because they won't let out any code. They won't. It's what's necessary to protect the consumer and nothing else. Yeah, I like Brave a lot. I really do.
Doug, good stuff as always. By the way, we have time. If you want to give us a call or send us a text, 651-461-9226. We've got a lot on the program today. And a friendly reminder, all our podcasts available online at WCCORadio.com. Just do a search for WCCO Tech Talk, and a lot of evergreen material there, and a lot of good topics there. Let's go to the phones. Marshall in St. Louis Park, here on the air. Hello.
Hey guys, appreciate you taking my call. I have a question, and hopefully you can answer it. We'll give it a whirl. So I have a computer that has worked with a dock that feeds to monitors, mouse, a webcam, all that stuff. And about a year ago, it quit working with the monitors. It works with everything else, but not the monitors. Now, I switched out the docks, same thing. So I tried a different computer with the docks. The other computer works great. So something in my computer is not allowing the monitors from the docks to function. And I'm wondering if you can help me with that.
That's really bizarre. But my first inclination is that you want to be looking at where that monitor connects on your computer. I have a feeling that the port, that, and it could be like little pins, something is wrong with that port. Could might just change that port. You might also need to redo your drivers. Now, if this is a Windows machine, it may be that piece of equipment, whether it came from Dell or Lenovo or wherever, has made arrangements with Microsoft to bring it to end of life. And if that's the case, there's still some workarounds that you can do. But I'm going to ask you to give me a call sometime next week, and we'll see if I can't connect up remotely and take a look at this. This is this shouldn't be happening, especially with one device. That's a little upsetting to me. Sounds more like drivers or something simple on the port end. We'll figure it out. The fact that it works with another computer. Well, now we know it isn't the port on the device itself. We know that it's the port and the device on the computer. So yeah, and it might be as simple as buying an inexpensive video card and sticking in that computer, 15, 20, 30 bucks, and away you go. It could be that simple. And we'll get you taken care of. Give me a call next week, and we'll get it sorted.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program today. And really, with diagnostics and troubleshooting, you just kind of work your way through it. Does this work? Does that work? And that's true with, you know, in my experience, audio equipment or computer equipment or anything, and mechanics, okay, this works. All right, maybe it's this. You know, now with automobiles, now they have computers that can kind of track and put out error messages. But, you know, good old-fashioned troubleshooting, you know, this guy did a great job to narrow it down back to that computer, that it isn't the port, it isn't the monitor, it isn't the docking station, it's something going on with that particular computer.
And with the Dell itself, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he did good. Fixing them is easy. Finding out what to fix, that's the tough part.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is 651-461-9226. That is a good call. Quite a while ago, you had mentioned, let's hold off on Windows 11 when it was first came out. And you've made a good point about, you know, any of these new releases. You don't need to be the first. You know, now Windows 11, I would call it a mature operating system. Okay to upgrade, I would assume. But, yeah, when something brand new comes out, I don't need to be first.
No.
Your thoughts on that, Doug?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's great to be on the cutting edge, but you don't want to be on the bleeding edge. Especially with high-tech equipment that is being sold for a gamer level, for example. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a gamer to use that. There's a lot of software and hardware out there that needs to be built to what's considered gaming standards. It has nothing to do with gaming.
Yeah.
But when the new equipment comes out, I always tell people, let's wait at least 3 months, preferably six. And you know, in the computer business, they say it evolves in dog years, 7 to 1. I think it's probably closer to 10 to 1. But at any rate, once that thing is out in the wild and you can jump online and you can read about it, there's patterns that emerge. And you can figure out what to fix before it ever becomes an issue. It's going to save you time and money, and I just can't put a dollar value on people's frustration, yeah. And especially mine. So I agree with this. The cutting edge, absolutely. Bleeding edge, avoid it like the plague. Yeah. It's just not worth it for most folks to play with their one production machine to have this great, oh, yeah. Now, if you got 3 or 4 computers and you want a beta test, by all means, I encourage that to no end. But most people have a computer that's doing their job, and maybe two, but one main production computer, what I call a production computer, the one they rely on for their data and their banking and buying stuff at Target or Amazon or eBay or whatnot. That computer, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just don't. You're better off to have a trusty machine.
Yeah.
If you got a trusting computer, you're in good shape.
All right, let's get in a quick call here before we break. John from Coon Rapids, you join us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. John, you're on the air.
Hi. I've got several laptops that are, you know, like 8-10 years old now that we've updated, but we haven't gotten rid of them. Where is a good place to take them to that they will wipe them and, you know, whether they can use them again or not, I don't know.
Well, Stevie, I'm going to have to use your memory here. We used to call it Tech Dump, but they've changed their name, and I'm sorry, I can't remember their name off.
Yeah, it's called Repowered Tech Dump. They've got a spot in Golden Valley. They've got one in St. Paul. You can even do a Google search for Tech Dump, but yeah. It will bring up Repowered in their website, Get Repowered, all one word, getrepowered.org. It is a nonprofit. They give people an opportunity to learn some skills, etc. They do a really nice job. We've used them at my full-time job to recycle old computer equipment, and they do a phenomenal job. And they will give you a certificate of destruction that hard drive will be wiped or destroyed if you so choose. Some equipment, they'll do a wipe and they'll resell it. There's a lot of options. But once again, it is getrepowered.org. And once again, they will give you a certificate of destruction when you turn it over. So go to that website and check them out. And in some communities, we'll take in equipment, but I don't know if you know get as good a guarantee that hard drive is going to be wiped.
That's correct.
Is a big deal. You want that cleaned up.
Yeah. Well, and there's one other place that will do the same thing, but they're in Minneapolis, and that's called FreeGeekTwinCities.org, and that's their website. A little small place. Probably a little bit more difficult to get to and park than
repowered.
I haven't been there for a while, but they do great work. And if you're looking for an inexpensive computer, I can't speak to Repowered, but I'm sure there's the same company. I have put many people into a purchase that I made at Tech Dump, and it probably saved them half the money. Run. Nice equipment. This is equipment that probably came in on lease. It was maybe only 18 months old. And then when they bring it in, they make sure everything works and replace anything that doesn't. A lot of it is like brand spanking new, I swear. You could do well to be checking out equipment there, too, if you're living on a budget and can't afford the cutting edge. But that's it's a great, great company, and I couldn't promote them enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, so they certainly do good good work. That is for sure. And I was just at their website, and I don't know if they're in Golden Valley anymore, but they've got a spot over in St. Paul.
I believe they are. Yeah. I think so.
Quick break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on Tech Talk in a moment here on News Talk. E3O WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug Swindehart. Quick reminder, Repowered, formerly Tech Dump, shut down their Golden Valley location.
Yeah,
so they have one location over in St. Paul. So we just wanted to point that out before we run out of time on the program. And time is very tight. Doug, we did get a couple of texts about Proton. Once again, how do you find it? What is it? Is it a browser? What's going on with Proton?
Well, they started by giving away free email, and they wanted to keep the internet anonymous. Until you do something illegal. and it's a huge security company, and it's proton.me, like you and me. Easy to work with, just wonderful, wonderful company. Today, and they've rolled out several other free programs over the years. My favorite is, of course, Proton Pass. I use it all day long. And the other one is Proton VPN. I have three separate VPN services that I pay for. Now, the Proton VPN comes free with my account, and it runs circles around the other three. I'm just amazed at the quality that they do. Just absolutely amazing company. Check them out. I hope that helps.
Yeah, and certainly a good one. One other reminder we want to get into real quick, and that is back up your data. We haven't said it in a while. Back up your data, hard copy, up in the cloud, etc.
You bet.
Take this opportunity. It's going to be rainy tomorrow. Back up your data. Make sure you got copies of the important stuff.
Yeah, minimum three copies. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, so do yourself a favor if you've forgot about it or procrastinating a little bit. Back up that data. All right, Doug, your phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543, and of course, admin at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and have a good weekend.
Yeah, Doug, we'll talk to you again down the road when sports schedules permit. It is Super Tech Talk with Doug on Saturdays. between 3 and 4 o'clock. We have all the news, all the weather. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. And then Bobby Nightingale will join us from the Star Tribune. We'll talk Twins. They're hot. We'll get into that coming up.